Happy August 20th to you. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham, and your phone calls today here on New Life. Glad you're here.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son, who's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends, okay? So number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they are just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position.
But there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Milan Yurkovich.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Dr. Sherry Denham, you doing okay?
I'm doing great. How are you,
gentlemen? It's just hard for me to believe it. This is August 20th. Like, the summer's, like, almost over.
I know. Kids are back in school this week.
That's
it's
just, like,
just
crazy
like, where did our
me.
Summer go? That's what
not
I want
fair.
To know.
And I want to tell you, that kids are in school in August, but they let out for June, and some even in May. It just shows that people are stupid. I mean, it's cool cooler in May and June, and then I just don't get it. I don't understand why that. Maybe they're just so fed up they just let them go home in May or something. We just can't handle it anymore. But anyway,
we're tired of you.
Just a thought there. We're going to go right to the phones today. Glad you're with us. Let's talk with Betsy from Emmaus, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Hello, Betsy. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on?
I'm struggling with the decision about whether or not to proceed with a divorce. I've been married 35 years. December of 2009, I found out my husband was having an affair. And for the next 9 months, we tried counseling, and he left about four different times for varying lengths of time during that 9 months. And finally, he came home and said he was done and that he wanted a divorce. So we mutually split the price of filing for the divorce, and in the meantime, I've submerged myself in all kinds of Christian books, and one of them was Tough Love by Dr. Dobson, and mm-hmm. I'm struggling with the fact that I initiated this divorce. It's been 2 years since I've actually seen him. There's been very sporadic emails, and when I say sporadic, I mean maybe three in the last 2 years. He's alienated himself from our four grown children and our nine grandchildren.
Okay, so he had an affair. Is he finished with the affair?
Is he finished the affair?
Yeah, is he still in the affair?
Yes, he's still...
Still with that person?
He's still with this woman. Uh-huh. Initially, when he left, they were living together, and now they're not, but they're both involved in this... Christian campground where he, I guess, is living, but I don't believe they're living together. I don't know. I've had
so
no
he left
contact.
You. He left you for this person. Now, why do you feel bad that you initiated the divorce?
I just feel like I should trust God to have His Holy Spirit work on his heart, and that. I just feel like it's the wrong thing to do.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk to you about that and whether or not you made a good decision, whether or not there were some alternatives that you could have taken. What do we do? Do we just, when somebody is having an affair, do we just pray and wait for God to do something that the person is unwilling for God to do in their life? How do we handle that? We'll talk about that right after this. You are listening to New Life Live, and we're glad that you are. We'll be back right after this for more New Life.
At I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Yeah, we're back. Okay. And we're talking with Betsy, husband in an affair. She filed for divorce, feels bad about that. Mylon, you have some thoughts for Betsy?
Hey, Betsy, how prone to guilt are you just over the course of your lifetime as a general pattern? If somebody's irritated, separate from you, if you get angry, how prone are you to struggle with guilt?
I struggle with guilt a lot.
Okay.
I look back on our marriage and feel that, you know, possibly he, you know, I became complacent. It was all me. I could have done this. I could have done that.
Undoubtedly, there are things you could have done better. That's true for all of us in a relationship. But I think it's important for you to separate the guilt that you've always had from this decision. You called and you said, I need help with the decision. And so one of the ways I think we could help you is by differentiating out and separating out the fact that you feel guilty about a lot of things, so you're going to feel guilty about this, but it doesn't mean it's what the Lord wants. It doesn't mean it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. I think you need to understand guilt is a crippling emotion, and it is often misplaced. And often God is credited for our guilty with having to do with our guilty feelings as though I'm supposed to wait. Now, if by the way, you really do feel you need to wait, then wait. You know, don't finish the divorce. If you feel like you need to wait, who am I to argue with God if you really feel that that's a clear message from God? But just don't confuse your guilt with a message from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sherry, what do you think?
I think that Mylon's onto it, you know, because sometimes when we take a responsibility to file, we feel the responsibility of all the wrongdoing, where mm-hmm. you are the mm-hmm. one that are the recipient of his immorality. And I, too, Betsy, had to file for divorce because my former husband did not leave his lifestyle of immorality. And I had to wait on God till I felt like I was released from that, and I pursued the divorce. But he was unwilling. And God gives grace for those of us that are living with a partner that's unwilling to leave their sin and unwilling to leave that immorality. And why should I feel guilt over something that God said, you are released for this reason?
Yeah, and that concept right there that you're describing, Sherry, Jesus talks about when he says it's because of hardness of heart.
Yes.
That Moses permitted divorce.
Yes.
And this I'm not willing to do anything about it is a hardness of heart.
Yes.
And so that is some out of the words of Christ. So there is this permission when a heart is hard and people commit adultery.
Okay. So I hope that's helpful, Betsy. I'm going to send you a copy of How We Love. I think that can help give you some insight that may help you going forward. It's Mylon and Kay's book. It's a great one. It's helped a lot of people. All right. Let's go to, we were at Emmaus. Now let's go to Manassas, Virginia, WAVA. Jamie, how are you?
Yes, fine. How about yourself?
Good. What's going on, Jamie?
Just to make it short, I've been having some issues with some involuntary movement in my hands and my head nod a little bit. And last Friday, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, Parkinson's disease. Okay.
Trying to deal with the psychological aspect of it, and a lot of things coming at me. But I'm hearing some good things, but I'm also hearing some negative things.
Okay, so what's the question for us then?
What should I be focused on? Just certain, like reading the Bible and praying and doing the obvious things, but understand that there's other certain maybe things that I should be trying to.
Okay, well, it seems like to me that your health care provider in that area could help you. Find a support group for other people that have just been diagnosed with Parkinson's. I think they have groups to help you adjust and grieve the loss of things and come to a level of acceptance in your life. We could try to help you find a counselor. What else would you guys suggest?
You know, you were asking about where he can get encouragement. He said from the Bible. Where do you go? And what I'm hearing is just fear and uncertainty. Concern about where my future is going. How is my body changing? And how do I take that to the Lord? It's a hard place to be at when you find out that you have a disease and that you can see the changes in your body start to happen. And I know that God is with you in it. He is not leaving you. He is walking with you closely. He grieves over this. So I would say the Psalms would be a great place to go as far as just reaching out to God for support.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing that I see people do very well when they choose not to be victimized by a loss, but rather become a master of it. By that I mean they study this disease so well. They learn everything there is to know about it.
Right.
They know as much maybe as some of the professionals
Good
meeting
point.
With them. And so that gives them a sense of empowerment that they have the capacity to really know what's going on.
Yeah.
When we don't know what's going on, that's what causes fear. And,
right.
And but to conquer with knowledge can be one tool to help you cope with this loss.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope that will be a healing force in your life emotionally and spiritually. And I'm so glad you called, and we're so sorry for what you're going through. I know so many people that are struggling. You've found out you've got a chronic illness, and it is progressive. I know that God is there for you. And I hope and pray that you'll experience him being there for you.
And to your point, he is there with people. God allows people in this time of the season of our lives, people put a big squeeze around you and a hug, and they are the arms of God. They are the feeling of the closeness of God.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, let's go to Jessica from Fort Worth, Texas, watches us on Family Net. Hello, Jessica.
Hi, thank you for having me on the air.
Sure, what's going on?
I'm a young woman in my 20s, and I am asking God for me to be a wife because I've been friends and I dated a lot of guys, and it just seems like it never really goes anywhere. You know, they don't want to further it. So.
Okay, so what's the question for us?
Well, how do I know who the one is for God to choose for me?
So you think there's only one?
Well, I know that there's only one person for one other person.
Really?
Yeah.
In other words, are you saying that there is a person out there and you got to go find that person, or God brings that one person to you? Or tell us what you're thinking.
I mean, I know that there's only one person for one other person. You know, it says in the Bible, you know, two shall become one flesh.
Right.
Well, that's after you make the decision
to
marry that person. There is a binding together of those two people. But I think what Steve and Sherry are asking is there could be, you know, a half a dozen eligible possibilities, and you would have the freedom to pick perhaps whichever one felt like they were the healthiest, you enjoyed being with, seemed to share the same values, and God leaves a lot up to our choice.
If he didn't, this would be the one area of your life where you don't have freedom of choice. You see, so we have to kind of start with our beliefs about dating and marrying someone. And if we're looking for kind of a magical solution from God that we meet this person and everything's going to be great, then we may never accept anyone because everybody's flawed. But I think what happens more often is people get a little desperate and then they settle for somebody that isn't a very good choice. But I believe that there are several people that will come your way in life that you could choose to be married to. And of those several, there might be a couple that would be really good choices, and there might be a couple that would be really bad choices. And when we choose someone and we get married, now that is the person. You know, we make that person the person. And we believe that God has put us together and allowed us to be together, but we have to use everything within our decision-making ability, including asking God through prayer to help us. We have to do everything we can to make a good decision, or we just like you hear it on our program all the time, we end up with people making really crummy choices about the person they marry.
So sometimes guys can pick up on the fact that you have a real high expectation to be a wife and to be married. And maybe in those first dating weeks and months, if a guy picks up on, oh, I think she's trying to make me the round peg in the round hole, sometimes that frightens guys on in the front because they don't want to, they need a little bit more time to get to know you. And so they might decide to jump ship and leave you standing there going, hey, what just happened here?
And there's also the assumption, Jessica, that I have of you that because a lot of relationships didn't work out, if you did find God's perfect pick, it would be effortless or it wouldn't be hard or we wouldn't have any of these difficulties I've had in other relationships. Do you kind of tend to think that way?
Not really.
Okay. Then you know, scratch one off for Mylan, you know, not guessing it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just curious that I have to find the right one. And what would happen if I did? Would there be something different or magical? Or you would, you know, I'm just asking the question. Would I not be prone to having difficulties? I don't know. What is it? How would you know?
Well, I mean, you really wouldn't really know. I mean, yes, I know there will be, you know, hard times, you know.
Okay.
Well, the bottom line is, Jessica, if we have this magical thinking that God will deliver a person to us, then we won't be out there meeting people and getting to know folks and being open to dating or spending time with other folks. And it would be similar to saying, you know, I'm just going to wait for some college or university to write me a letter and say, hey, why don't you come here? When choosing a college or waiting for somebody with a job to call us up or write us a letter and say, hey, why don't you come work here? I think in all of these areas, we have to go do our best to make the best decision.
Do you think the verse, you reap what you sow, pertains here?
Definitely.
Okay, so that we actually have to go out and do work, and ultimately that will cultivate some return or harvest.
Planting a seed is saying to your friends, hey, I want to date some people. Who do you know that are good, solid Christian men that somebody might be interesting to have a date with?
Well, and let me take it just one step deeper. And I'm going to put myself out there for you, Jessica. I had intimacy issues early in my life because I didn't know how to be close because of some pain in my childhood. So I kept picking these men that didn't know how to be intimate. And guess what? It didn't work very well, having two people that struggled with intimacy. Mm-hmm. I had to do exactly, you reap what you sow. I was reaping relationships that weren't healthy. I had to go in and start to heal my own intimacy issues, my own fear of intimacy, so that I would know even what intimacy tasted like, smelled like, felt like.
And when you use the word intimacy, you're not talking about sex right
no,
now.
No, 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 no. Okay. I am talking about, thank you, Mylan. I am talking about being known. Into me you see. My ability to let someone see me and my ability to see somebody else on a heart level. Risk, fear of rejection, all those things. So I had to do my own work in therapy, and I've been in groups for years to help me learn how to get better connected. And then I connect better. I know how it feels to be with a guy who really knows how to connect back.
Okay.
Makes for better possibilities.
All right. I'm going to send you, is this the one? It'll it'll talk to you about how to meet people, how to be available, how to be a healthy dater, and how to make good choices about finding the one that just might be a great partner for you. Is this the one? I'll send it to you. We'll take a break. We'll come back right after this for more New Life Live with Mylan Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. We'll be back.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The next New Life Marriage Weekend is October 19th through the 21st.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, how they manage stress or don't manage it well, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love, and what is it that destroys our love, and then how do you repair love when it's broken. And then we're going to redefine the roles of husbands and wives.
And Steve Artiber.
I'm going to start by presenting the five walls that prevent you from doing either of the things that you guys are trying to get people to do.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let me remind you that tomorrow, Pacific time, 12 Pacific time, Dave Stoop and I are going to do a webinar on understanding and overcoming addiction. And you can join us free, but you have to sign up at newlife.com. And then on the 24th, Max Lucado and I will be on with a webinar at 11 a.m. Pacific time, The Role of Grace in Marriage. This Sunday, if you're in the Southern California area, Henry Cloud's going to be speaking at the Crystal Cathedral. That'll be a great message there. He always does a really, really good job. And I'll remind you that our Marriage Weekend and the New Life Weight Loss Weekend coming up in October and November. Come join us for those life-changing weekends. Let's go to, how about we talk now with Susie from Salisbury, Maryland, WOLC. Hi, Susie. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help?
My husband and I are Christians,
yes.
And we have a 5-year-old daughter who's going to start kindergarten, but he wants her to be homeschooled, and I want her to go to public school, and we've been going round and round about this and a lot of other issues, and we can't figure out how to solve these problems.
Mm. And you would be the one homeschooling?
Well, that was what he wanted, but when I said, I just cannot do that, I want to send her to public school, he said, well, I can do it, but he really can't because he has a job.
But is there somebody else in your area community that has a homeschool that she could attend and maybe accomplish two things at the same time? Because what I'm hearing is you don't want to do it. And what I can't imagine doing something you don't want to do.
It's no, homeschooling.
Yeah, it's going to breed frustration, resentment. I mean, it's just not good to do something you don't want to do. You're not a bad mom. You just don't want to homeschool.
So here's where
well,
most couples...
I have a teaching credential, but I want my daughter to go to public school.
Susie, here's where most couples... Here's where most couples don't do a good job. They don't know how to sit down and ask each other, why are you pushing this direction? What inside of you has made the decision? This is an important thing. What was your experience like in kindergarten? What happened to you? What is driving this? Before you go round and round and round, those are your words, we just go round and round. What Susie and husband need to do is stop and ask, you know, well, why is your position so important?
Mm-hmm.
What's driving that?
Yeah.
Because let's say,
good point,
let's just say Susie's husband was bullied in the first grade and some kid just tormented his life. And so public school just has a bad taste in his mouth. But Susie doesn't know that. So what do we know about what's driving these decisions? And I think that's a very important place to start and to have a more important conversation. What drives the value?
How does that sound?
Well, it's just really the tip of the iceberg for us because we don't agree on anything about we're getting ready to build a house and we can't agree on anything about that. And we can't agree on how a lot of things about child issues. So how do you go about coming to terms with that when you can't agree and neither will bend? What happens then?
Well, what Mylan was just inviting you into is to take it to a different place than the issue. Because in his book, How We Love, in one of the chapters, they talk about the comfort circle. And it's how you actually have a conversation where you have to sit down and listen to your partner's feelings. And I have this little thing at my office that I use that I have a red square around it. I call it the penalty box. And during this phase, step three has to do with exploring and get like putting on your Columbo hat and getting really curious about your spouse and about why they believe the thing that they believe, why they feel that way. And the penalty box is where you go if you try to correct, change, disagree, fix, you know, because it's a conversation killer.
That could be a bummer if they have claustrophobia. How big is this box?
Yeah, really.
I just have, because we go there. I watch couples. All of a sudden, they'll be exploring, and one will be sharing their heart and their story, and then the other one starts going, well, I don't agree with that. And I'm like, oh, penalty box. Hold on a second here, because it'll kill the conversation.
Yeah.
So you go back to, it's time to explore. Even if you disagree, lay down your sword and hear your partner so you can find out what's underneath it.
So oftentimes, Susie, when people walk into adulthood and they are very rigid and inflexible, and to use your words, they won't bend, oftentimes there is a chaotic history that precedes that as a child. And so they need high levels of structure, rigidity, and order in order to make themselves feel better inside. And this is how they manage their emotional you know, internal emotions by structure and rigidity.
Well, I got to tell you, bottom line is you guys really do need to get into some counseling together because, like you say, it's the tip of the iceberg. And here's the rule on homeschooling. The person that would be in charge of homeschooling gets to decide. I mean, that's just, I mean, you,
nice
because one. Because you don't want to sign up for something that you're not gifted in. It would create a bigger disaster than any other option.
There's a fear there on your husband's part. And, you know, what is that fear?
Well, and I would say, Susie, there's a fear on your part. Because when I offered the idea of going to having your daughter go somewhere else for homeschool, you said, oh, no, I really want public school. So there's something there, too. Well, yeah. I want to get curious about that.
Okay, so all we're saying is here's a symptom, and it could lead you guys to get a deeper level of help and work out a lot of issues. Because you're saying you don't agree on anything, the house, the whole thing. All right, I hope that's helpful to you. Let me send you Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love. It would be great for you guys if you could get into that book and study it and read it and care about each other through the truth that's there. We'll be back right after this for the second half of New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think, that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back, Steve Artimer, here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham. Let's talk with Lisa from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, WTLN. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? What's going on in your life today?
Just to be frank and get straight to the point, I recently found out that my husband cheated with men about 4 or 5 times. And I found out because I found gay porn on my laptop.
Okay.
And the issue was, for some months after I had our first child, you know, why don't you want me? He didn't have any desire to be intimate. And he would always blame it on me and say, if you want something, come get it. So I just prayed and asked the Lord to really expose whatever's going on, and I happened to go on my laptop and find the gay porn, and I asked him about it, and he told me, you know, some things about it and confessed some other things concerning the porn. And I asked him, did he cheat on me? And he said no. So 7 days later, when we went to counseling for the first time, is when I found out that he cheated on me.
So he was willing to get some counseling?
Yes.
Okay. So where are things now?
Well, we had an extremely long conversation last night from about 7:15 to almost 3 o'clock in the morning. And he basically ended up confessing to me that the better half of his life, over 20-something-odd years, he's been a trickster. And he was actually dabbling in this before we got married. And so he was just saying how he just tricked everybody. He tricked me into marrying him. And he did a lot of crying as he was confessing and said that he's tired of playing the role. And I asked him, well, you know, did you really fall in love with me? And he says he doesn't know. I said, well, do you even love me? And he says, I do, but I don't know for the right reasons. He doesn't know if he married me for the right reasons. And we're still going to go to counseling, but I'm at a place I don't know what to do.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's tough.
You know what I would suggest, Lisa? Do you know every man's battle has a number of husbands that struggle with male relationships, men porn. And there's a lot of shame for a woman and that kind of a relationship. But your husband is a sex addict.
Yeah.
He's just choosing to use men as his sexual partner rather than women. So when he calls himself a trickster, that's kind of a different word. I would say he's not a trickster. He's been a sex addict who's been living in a life of deception, and you're just starting to find that out. And he needs help. He needs to get around some other men that can help hold him accountable so that he can get clean from his addiction.
And he's put you in danger. If you guys have been intimate and he's being intimate with other men, then, you know, he's put you at risk. The question is not, did he marry you for the right reason and all those kinds of things, but the question is, what's he willing to do,
yep,
if anything, to create a marriage here that could be a good marriage? And so the question to you is, what is he willing to do?
Well, he says he's willing to do anything. And we had a counseling session scheduled for Monday night to specifically deal with that issue and just not marital issues concerning that.
Mm-hmm.
But he found a way to not go, and that's how we got into that conversation last night. And he said he really just didn't want everything to be exposed, but he's tired of the double life and playing games, and told me that his last time being with a man was in February. So he says that he's willing to do what it takes. He realizes that he's sick.
When he says, I'm willing to do what it takes, then you have to say, okay, well, the least would be that we have to go to that counseling appointment that you didn't want to go to Monday night. And if you don't...
He agreed.
Okay. And then secondly, I think what Sherry is telling you is that he can get some tools to deal with this if you go to Every Man's Battle. But if he's not, all he's willing to do is talk, see?
Mm-hmm. Counseling's not enough for you guys. I'm going to be bold to say that. It's not enough. I'm glad you're going. He needs more than that. He needs more to heal. This is a really hard addiction.
Mylon, any thoughts?
Well, yes, you have to decide what you're willing to put up with. And a lot of times you may not, we as human beings, we may not like something, but we'll put up with it because it's too hard to break away from it. We've been married too long, our kids, you know, and they've got school, and we just won't set any boundaries. And so my thought would be, I wouldn't dare have sex with him until both of you had been tested for sexually transmitted diseases.
And then only safe sex going forward, or no sex until things are clarified.
Absolutely. And then number two, if he's not willing to change, are you willing to set down a firm enough boundary that we will not be together, or I will get a separation until you do something? In other words, there's a penalty he has to pay, rather than just coasting along for another year, another 2 years, another 3 years, and pretty soon nothing has been done, and he knows he can get by with it because you're a pushover.
So the question is there hope? Well, there isn't hope in you enabling him to not do anything. There's no hope there. But there is hope if he's serious enough to get some help and deal with the reality that you guys are struggling with.
Would Every Heart Restored be something that would be helpful to her, you know, next time it comes around? And
yep.
Women in the battle. She's definitely in the battle because of his lack of sexual integrity. We'll tell you about that. And
Lisa, I'm so sorry about the shock and shame of it all. You're in that shock, shame place, and I'm so sorry about that. How devastating.
Yeah, very, very tough.
But if people do the right thing, they can pull a relationship together.
And yes.
From that, you know, they can have a great second half. But they have to do a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls, and hopefully you guys can look at that part on stubborn resistance, and it would give you something to talk about in case it crops up with him. Let's go to Kathy from Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just love listening to your show. And I lived together with my husband. I had backslidden and I lived with him for about 8 years, and then I married him. He was everything a woman wanted prior to marriage. After marriage, he turned into Jekyll and Hyde. There's no communication between us. He will get mad and he'll start yelling. There's no intimacy, no hugs, no kissing, nothing like that.
Wow, that's got to be so painful. How long have you lived like that?
8 or 9 years.
And do you ever talk about the reality of your situation with each other?
I try to, but right in the very beginning, he becomes defensive, and he says, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm always wrong. You always say I'm wrong.
Okay.
And
have you thought about getting some help in talking to each other?
He won't get counseling.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He was in another marriage and went to counseling, and the counselor believed the wife, and he said he'll never go to another counselor.
Well, that sounds like stubborn resistance to me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That was then, honey. That was then. This is now. Not all counselors are the same. You can't pin something on one and put it on everybody else. We need help. There's got to be a better way to live than this. Let's go get some help. The least we could do is give a counselor one shot. Or maybe he would come to our weekend, our marriage weekend, with you. Say, the least we could do is take one weekend to try to get back what we had before, because we've lost it.
As far as one of the weekends, I can tell you he would never attend because in his mind, that's just church stuff, and he doesn't need to go.
So,
well, one of the things that happens when we move in with somebody prior to marriage is what that moving in with somebody is code for we start having sex very quickly. And when you start having sex very quickly, most men have a great big smile on their face. They are happy as a clam at high tide. And so we think that you know, this is the best thing in the whole world. And they are just Mr. Smiley and super nice and just the engaging and fun. And then all of a sudden reality sets in.
Low tide.
And low tide. You know?
Not good.
Low tide, low testosterone.
That's right. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back right after this.
Hi there, this is Mike Mason. I'm the newest addition to the New Life team. You know, I have worked with ministries for the past 40 years, and I have to tell you, I never dreamed one ministry could offer so much help and hope until I came to work for New Life. One of the first things I did, Steve got me into one of those groups at a New Life weekend. And you know what? It changed me forever. And it changed the guys in my group. You know, today we still talk every Saturday morning on the phone after a year and a half. And then Steve had me to go up and see an every man's battle. And I got to tell you, the changes in those men were dramatic and lasting. So would you come alongside of me and do what I do and support this great, life-changing, great work for God's kingdom? All you have to do is call right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or that's 639-5433, or go online at newlife.com and make that donation today.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas October 19th through the 21st.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, how they manage stress or don't manage it well, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love, and what is it that destroys our love, and then how do you repair love when it's broken? And then we're going to redefine the roles of husbands and wives.
And Steve Artiber.
I'm going to start by presenting the 5 walls that prevent you from doing either of the things that you guys are trying to get people to do.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433
or log on to newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're talking with Kathy, and in a miserable marriage, they live together. The guy, 9 years now, no sex, no relationship. He's not willing to do anything. We were talking at the break. Mylon, you had a thought of what might be good for her to do.
Well, Kathy, I would even, if you're going to ask him what went wrong, I would ask him, instead of pointing the finger at him, just say, you know, why do you think your feelings toward me have changed? You know, that takes out the, well, you're right and I'm wrong kind of thing. What inside of you has changed toward me, and can you describe that? Number two, so a lot of it is in the way we ask the question. The second thing is to get a life yourself, and not expect that he's going to go anywhere with you. You know, basically he has clicked off, shut down, and he's no longer a partner. So I would begin to develop a life and get a life by going out and doing something and finding out who is Kathy. And devoting your life to the development of that.
Yeah.
Well, when he quit having sex with me, he blamed it on low testosterone, and I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that that was his reason, and we did have him checked out, and he was low, and the doctor wanted to treat him, but he said no.
Yeah.
But about a year ago, we were in the usual argument, and he says, you want to know why I quit having sex with you? And I said, yeah, tell me. And he says, because I was going to show you that you weren't going to tell me what to do.
Okay. Well, see, I mean, they're just deep, deep wounds here and walls up everywhere. And I tell you, I think you've got to go for... The least we could do is get some help here and try to work this out, have somebody help us talk, and he resists that. But in the meantime, you got to get some help for yourself and some support for yourself. I wish we had something more powerful to offer you.
Well, and it feels powerless and helpless in those situations as a woman. And so you need to find your power, Kathy. You need to find your power in that relationship.
Yeah. All right.
And you need to empathize with him that somewhere in his history, somebody dominated him and controlled him, and he may be reacting to that.
That's right.
So
okay.
Empathy can help.
Thank you for calling us. Let me send you How We Love. I think that'll give you some great insight here. I've got time for a quick last phone call with Angela from Glasgow, Kentucky. WFIA is the station. Hi there.
Hi, how are you today?
Very well. How could we help you?
Well, I live in Indiana, but I'm down here in Glasgow, Kentucky, visiting with my cousin. And I went to a Bible study with her last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the pastor there was featured on heaven and hell, and who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Well, he also said that children will go to hell, too. And I just didn't agree with that. And because, for one reason, if a child is born to an atheist family and the parents haven't taught the child about our Father, God, and Jesus, our Savior, and they die in an accident, does that child burn in hell because of it?
Well, let me tell you, I've been around, 59 years, and I've never, ever heard of a pastor making a point or preaching that children go to hell. Mylon, as a pastor... What do you say to this? I mean,
well, there's a fabulous story in the Old Testament about King David's loss of his child with Bathsheba, and the child dies, and King David says, "I will go to be with him," and he makes reference to that as a part of the consolation that he feels. So there is at least a Bible verse that seems to indicate that David knew where this child would be, and he also knew he'd be in heaven with the Lord. So I think a lot has to do with, why do people say what they say in the first place? Why would a preacher, you know, decide to make these statements? What's going on inside that guy's head that makes him decide he wants to be that contentious? The Bible doesn't say a lot about this topic, actually. And so we're left to, you know, trying to deduce what would, you know, the Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So, you know, somewhere in God's sovereignty, it's all up to him anyhow.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can make a conclusive statement that, you know, the child is automatically going to go to hell.
Well, we talk about this
toxic
hate,
to me. Yeah, that's really just a toxic.
It sounds very toxic. Why would you even bring it up? Why do you take and create such a volatile, you know,
what's the benefit?
Point to your sermon?
Yeah. And we talk about this age of accountability issue, which I think is a strong principle.
Sure.
That you're held accountable for what you know. And what does an infant know? What does a 2-year-old know? I mean, I think it's a valid principle to follow.
Well, I think you reacted in a normal way, Angela, because all of us, the hair on the back of our neck went up when you said that. So yeah.
I think
he's off base.
Yeah, I would question the friend why she would go to that church if this is the kind of stuff the guy's coming up with.
Yeah, because there's probably some other toxic beliefs
You know, you wrote a book on toxic faith. There is a lot of extremism. And when you go to a church and you hear extremism, that's probably one of the signs to say, this probably is not the church I should camp out at.
Two things. You know, I preached on this out at Saddleback a few weeks ago.
Yes, you did.
And we've got that message up on our website. You could listen to that or have your friend listen to it. And I'll send you a copy of toxic faith. But, you know, I mean, what's next? Pets go to hell? I mean, is that going to be the next topic of a sermon? Where do you go from there to create conflict and controversy? I would love to hear the message and just to gain some insight into why a guy would ever even be talking.
Say that.
Thinking.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're glad you're with us here today. And we really do care and want the best for you. And we've done our best to adhere to the call of this ministry. And our call is transformation. And so we provided some opportunities for transforming experiences to take place. And two of those are coming up. One is our marriage weekend, and the other one is the New Life Weight Loss Weekend. And you can sign up for those at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Everything that we do here is because somebody decided to give us some support. When you hear about people who've been married for 20 years, miserable for 10, they turn it around and life is new and there is a restoration process. When you're a supporter of this ministry, you're part of that. When you hear of a woman who went 30 years never even saying the word abortion out loud after she had one, and then she shares with other people about the healing experience at a New Life Weekend over her abortion, when you support us, you're part of that transformation out of that guilt and that shame. And so please ask God if this is a ministry that he would have you support. And if so, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com? Become part of Club New Life. These Club New Life members, every month they support us. It becomes the foundation of all that we do. But please, during these last days of summer, we need your help. And so call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. You can find out about all the other things that we do. And don't forget about our webinar tomorrow at 12 Pacific time. Dr. Dave Stoop and I talking about overcoming addictions. You know, he and I edited the Life Recovery Bible, and we'll be talking about that and other things that could provide hope and healing for you. My thanks to Milan Yurkovich. He is the author of How We Love and How We Love Our Kids. Two great, great books. Dr. Sherry Denham. She is the one that conducts our Women in the Battle workshop. And if you've never been, but you have a guy in your life who has a sexual integrity problem, that weekend could provide healing beyond anything you ever dreamed. We want to be healing, and we ask that you pray for us and pray that God will keep his hand on this ministry so we can continue to reach out to folks and provide his healing touch. We love you. We care about you. Thanks for watching, listening, and supporting. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652.
Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.